$1 million ticket was sold in Cottonwood, California. If the winner takes their money up front, they'd get about $50 million before taxes. Why is it that people keep buying these Mega Millions tickets when the odds of winning are 1 in about 303 million?
I'm always hopeful that one day I'll win, so I keep trying. I know the odds are against me, but who do I have to lose?
Oh, man, it would be like a new life. It would be being born all over again.
And speaking of big bucks, the Treasury Department could be forced to make some drastic financial moves in a few weeks.
In a letter to Congress, the Treasury Secretary said these extraordinary measures or accounting procedures will need to start as early as January 14th if lawmakers fail to raise the debt ceiling. Raising the debt ceiling allows the federal government to borrow money to pay off the bills for spending Congress already approved. Secretary Yellen says Congress must act to protect the full faith and credit of the United States. The federal debt presently stands at roughly $36 trillion and has grown during both Republican and Democratic administrations. Linda Kenyon, CBS News, Washington.
The UN Children's Fund says this year has been one of the worst for children in conflict areas. UNICEF's Joe English.
There are rules that warring parties are supposed to adhere to, which includes ensuring that children are protected, that children are not killed, that children's schools and hospitals are protected, that they're not recruited and used in the fighting. And so all we're asking for is for those rules of war to be respected.
English says more than 473 million children today live in areas affected by wars, and a record number of them are missing or having their rights violated, either by being killed or injured, or being out of school, missing life-saving vaccines, or being critically malnourished. Sportscaster Greg Gumbel has died after a battle with cancer. CBS Sports HQ host Russ Thaler says Gumbel had quite the career.
Gumbel is most well-known for covering the NFL and college basketball. Along with Phil Simms, he formed CBS's lead NFL announcing team for 6 seasons and called 2 Super Bowls. In 2001, he became the first African-American to do play-by-play for a major sports championship in the United States when he called Super Bowl 35 for CBS.
Gumbel was a play-by-play announcer and studio host known mostly for his work at CBS Sports. He was 78 years old. Actor Denzel Washington and CBS Mornings co-host Gayle King both turned 70 today. This is CBS News.
If you're 55 and up, T-Mobile has plans built just for you. Get the savings you want on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/choice55 and start saving today.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Agriculture and economics professor at the University of Wisconsin-Madison explains the reference prices allow payments to farmers when a crop falls below a certain level.
Prices have been declining on the corn and soybeans, and the process is used to create this support in these times of thin negative margins. They're out of date. Those floors were set in 2018, and you know, we've gone through a lot of inflation, and so you know, $1,000 isn't what it used to be.
Mitchell says farm organizations have been asking Congress to increase crop reference prices. The farm bill was extended again for another year as a part of a spending bill to avert a federal government shutdown. Mitchell says a lot of uncertainty looms with the incoming administration's goal to cut budget costs.
So my real worry is that agriculture will be collateral damage for the new administration as they pursue other political priorities where, you know, agriculture is not their number one priority. And they will take the cost of agricultural hurt to address these issues they want to address that would partly help them get elected.
Other areas of concern in the farm bill, he says, are crop insurance, conservation programs, and the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, which is still offering benefits too low to help those who need them, according to an Urban Institute report. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, cloudy skies become mostly sunny skies. We'll have a high near 41 this afternoon. For tonight, some patchy fog, maybe some freezing fog with a low of 29. For Sunday, mostly cloudy with a high of 39, 37 in clouds on Monday.
It's 39 at our studios.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, what does former FBI and CIA Director William Webster have to say about Cash Patel and Tulsi Gabbard? Also, our favorite Delano Democrat, Harvey Kay, on the rise of homelessness and political exhaustion. Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hey, this is Aaron, Todd's producer. Thanks for tuning in for this week's Best of the Todd Allbaugh Show. We're going to kick things off with Wednesday's conversation with Pat Kreitlow, host of Up North News Radio. He and Todd mostly talked about the tragic shooting in Madison, Wisconsin, earlier this week on Monday, and what the response from the government should look like. Take a listen.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network. And streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Allbaugh, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board. It is 6 past the hour of 12 noon on this Wednesday, December 18th, 2024. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite, and it is...
Pump Day!
There you go. The old camel on a Wednesday.
Also known as Saddle Up Day.
Yes. Yes. For those wanting equal rights for camels, Saddle Up Day as well. Busy day. In hour number two, our friend and ongoing contributor, Mr. Trygve Olsen, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project, is here in town, and he will be joining us in hour two instead of hour one on a Wednesday. We have our grown-up, adults-only specialty gift shop. No, what's it called? The grown-up gift list text-to-own win contest coming up in hour number two. Somebody next hour is going to win a $100 bill. $100 up for grabs, and you'll be entered in for the 8 great grand prizes as well. So be listening to that in hour number two. Right now, though, a couple of quick headlines for you. I know Jane McNair last hour, as this broke across the wires out in Washington, D.C., former Congressman Matt Gaetz, the sultry details, the sundry, whatever details be unknown, apparently, as the House in a closed-door session has voted to release the Matt Gaetz report, but not until after this session is done, as it turns out. So we'll have more details on that. And are you a TikToker? If you're a TikToker, the fate of your TikToking is going to be decided by the always media savvy Samuel Alito and Clarence Thomas. Yes, the Supreme Court has agreed to hear the case of TikTok, the TikTok ban. So we'll talk a little bit about that later as well. We're going to talk about some great reporting by our independent station here in Madison, WORT, on the University of Wisconsin system, spending over $50 million on consultants. Jeez, how many two-year universities could we have had stay open for $50 million? We'll talk a little bit about that. And also Tommy Thompson making some news yesterday. His thoughts on, you know, let's just move on with this whole fake elector stuff. But right now, more importantly, we bring on our friend, our colleague, the host of Up North News Radio every morning from 6 until 8 up in beautiful Lake Wissota, Mr. Pat Kreitlow. Patrick, how are you?
Wonderful. Wonderful. How are things down there in that big, beautiful state capital city?
Well, we're doing okay. A little snow. I know you've already had snow up there, right, Lake Wissota?
Yeah, but it's come and gone. It's very brown here, but that will change, and that will change big time 24 hours from now.
Yes. Yeah, we got a little dusting overnight, just a little bit more than you can track a cat here in Madison. But yes, winter storm warnings, particularly for our listeners in the Green Bay area on WGBW and WISS and Oshkosh, Fox Valley up through Door County, and not quite DeShoto, but almost last I saw. Winter storm warnings there. So, yes, so much of our state's going to get several inches of snow in the next 24 to 36 hours. So, you know, I mean, by February, this will seem old hat, but this is probably the first at least significant snowfall for lots of parts of the state, Pat. And, you know.
And as we learned when we first had, what was that, our first like 2-inch snowfall or whatever it was, for a place that has a lot of people that can drive in the winter, it's a little tricky that first time,
right?
Little overestimating of your abilities or the slickiness of the pavement. So, be careful out there. You're on the side of caution, folks.
Just go slow and start braking early.
Tap lightly, leave lots of room.
Better to slowly roll to the stop sign than crash into the intersection.
Right. That's exactly right.
We got this.
We absolutely have this. I want to give you some breaking news here, or at least updated news, courtesy of CBS News at this hour. And it results to pertains to our ongoing coverage here at Civic Media of the tragedy that happened on Monday of the Abundant Life Christian School shooting here in Madison, which left three people dead, including the gunman. This is the latest here from CBS News breaking at this hour. The parents of 15-year-old Natalie Rapnow, who police say killed two people and herself at a Wisconsin school on Monday, had divorced and remarried twice in recent years, while Natalie had been enrolled in therapy, court records show. Rapnow's parents, Jeff and Melissa Rapnow, are cooperating with investigators, police say. Natalie was their only child together. Neither parent has responded to CBS News' request for comment. Court records show that the couple married in 2011, 2 years after Natalie was born, divorced in 2014. They shared custody with Natalie, with her primarily living with her mother and alternate weekends between both parents. The couple remarried in 2017, but then again filed for divorce in 2020. They agreed to a shared custody agreement with Natalie, alternating between their homes every 2 to 3 days. Court documents from July of 2022 show Natalie was enrolled in therapy and living primarily with her father. She spent one weekend a month with her mother, and the couple was working towards, quote, equal placement, unquote. They agreed to, quote, consider Natalie's therapist's recommendations regarding placement, unquote. And Melissa said she was that she planned to connect with Natalie's therapist and participate in therapy to extend recommendations by the therapist. Melissa and Jeff Rapnow's reported a generally positive co-parenting relationship and said they would continue to communicate by text and phone calls. Jeff Rapnow frequently posted about his daughter on Facebook, including in August when the two were seen at a shooting range together. According to a Facebook profile, this is via CBS News, we're not just taking this off of Facebook, Rapnow was an active member of a Lutheran church here in Madison where he attended services with his daughter, according to CBS News Radio. Pat, a lot of reading there, and I apologize for that. But I wanted to bring this to our listeners because I think it is important, as lots of folks try to make, and there is no way to make sense of this, but try to at least understand this. It seems to be, and again, this investigation's ongoing, it seems to be, like so many young people, a less than ideal home life and very complicated. And, well, I'll let you talk.
Some folks won't like where I'm going from here. A lot of what we've talked about can be found in homes, not just in the United States, but around the world. There are broken homes. There are broken families. There is divorce. There's therapy. Therapy in and of itself is usually a positive thing, going to get some help for something. So I would guard against anybody reading too much into this. This is probably more than we need to know, but after an episode as terrible as this, people want as much context as possible. But now it's also extremely possible to read too much into any one part of that. But here's the part where I'm going. Everywhere around the world, you have broken marriages and broken homes. In no other place on earth do you have access to firearms the way that troubled young people do. And troubled young people, mostly boys and men, yes, but girls and women too, when they have easier access, it can lead to tragic outcomes. Doesn't matter if it's suicide amongst our veterans or amongst our young people or domestic violence. I mean, we have people that want to focus so much on, the couple of undocumented immigrants that commit some kind of a violent crime. And never mind all the millions of others who are here, working really hard, when really what we should be working toward, writ large, is a society that takes better care of its guns. I'm not saying ban the guns. I'm not saying ban hunt. No, nothing like that. But we need a culture that is better about storing, locking away, and teaching respect for the deadliness of these weapons, especially when you have a troubled domestic situation. It's the whole purpose that people promote red flag laws. is that if it appears a situation has gotten to the point that could be dire or threatening, you ask a judge to hear the case and perhaps rule that the guns should not be around that person for a little while. So, long story short, this happens only in this country. There are ways to prevent it from happening in this country. And as we talk through and get over this tragedy, knowing there will be more, maybe we can have our elected officials in the meantime take some of these basic safeguards seriously, finally.
Yeah, well said. Zomeris, we have time to play the clip from Mark Pulcahyan from yesterday on the House floor. This was United States Congressman Mark Pulcahyan, who represents Madison, yesterday on the House floor.
Yesterday, my community of Madison, Wisconsin, was devastated by a senseless shooting at the Abundant Life Christian School that tragically claimed the lives of one student and one teacher, the shooter, and left six others injured, with two students still in critical condition. These were innocent lives, innocent victims of senseless violence, and we mourn their loss with their families and loved ones and the entire Abundant Life community. We also give our sincere thanks for the bravery and quick response of our law enforcement, first responders, and local healthcare workers who have worked tirelessly to respond to this tragic event and save the lives of those injured. The Abundant Life community, the students, the staff, the parents, are all victims of this traumatic experience, and what happened this week will live on in our memories. I urge all of my colleagues to think about what we can do to prevent us from having to stand here again for yet another moment of silence. We must do better, and we must turn these moments of silence into moments of action. I ask all members in this chamber, as well as all members and staff in the Capitol, to rise for a moment of silence in remembrance of the recent shooting at the Abundant Life Christian School in Madison, Wisconsin.
And at that point, after Congressman Mark Pulcahyan made those remarks, with about 30 to 45 minutes of silence, and then he yielded back his time.
Or seconds, not minutes, but yes.
I'm sorry, yes, seconds, not minutes. Thank you very much, Somers. It should be noted that this was a bipartisan effort. Democrats, Gwendolyn Moore, Congresswoman Gwendolyn Moore, and Republicans, Glenn Grothman, Derek Van Orten, Tony Weed, and Brian Stile also stood with Mark Pulcahyan on the House floor while he read that. Pat, happens far too often. And again, to your point, we need action on this. And it's just unfortunate, it is an understatement, but I don't know why it takes something like this to have all those people I just mentioned, when they snipe at each other on Twitter and everywhere else and all the words, why does it take something like this for them to stand together shoulder to shoulder instead of, you know, why can't they get in a room and say, we want to actually do something about this?
And when you talk to lawmakers at the federal and state level on an individual basis, you can see how much some of them would want to, just like you can get some Democrats to agree on certain Republican talking points. But once you get the party politics going and the big money donors and everything else, you see why this is just so damn hard.
Why is it so damn hard to just talk about the truth a little bit? We'll ask Pat that. And play a cut from Tommy Thompson, who just, you know, wants to turn the page. Back with more after this. Don't go anywhere. It's the Todd Allball Show for a Wednesday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Up next, we're going to finish up this conversation with Pat Kreitlow.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. As 2024 comes to a close, we're taking our annual look back at the year that was, recapping our most read, most listened to, and most impactful stories of the year. If you're new to learning about the Recombobulation area, this would be a great place to start to see what we're all about. This year, we covered the RNC in Milwaukee and the DNC in Chicago and broke stories that made national news along the way. We wrote about the fight for fair maps and covered elections in the state legislature like no one else. I wrote opinion columns and feature stories and conducted extended sit-down interviews like one with Senator Tammy Baldwin. I hosted podcasts and radio shows and, of course, joined the Civic Media Network, where you've heard me all over the airwaves for the last few months. This last year was discombobulating at times, but we did our best to make sense of it all, and we've got a whole lot more recombobulation in store for the year ahead in 2025.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Thanks for sticking with us in the Best of the Todd Allbaugh Show. Here we finish up Todd's conversation with Pat Kreitel of Up North News Radio. Enjoy.
The snow is coming. Put on your flannel and a hot cup of cocoa and dial up every morning, 6 until 8, Pat Kreitel, who comes to you on Lake Wissota tomorrow, coming to you from an ice shanty. Wouldn't that be great to be doing a show in an ice shanty?
I think we have different definitions of great.
Yes, yes. The answer to that is no. No. For people who enjoy ice fishing, God bless you. Catch a bunch. Invite me over. I'd love a good shore lunch in right. the the wintertime version, indoors. I did mention the other day that, when the ice is just right in the late winter, sufficiently thick here in the neighborhood, we do have a nice party. We go, about 100 yards out onto the lake and we'll walk there by and large and have a wonderful little gathering. There's a couple of, grills going and some bean bags. The bean bags are a little harder in the wintertime. I don't know if you know this. Yeah.
Like and, bricks.
Just a good chance to, be out on the water, the frozen version.
Yeah, and I will say about doing a radio show from an ice shack, I think that the only thing you can do in an ice shack is ice fishing, because your face will start freezing up. No matter how many layers you're in, your lips will eventually freeze up and stop moving nicely, and you're not going to be able to talk.
It does get in the way of good radio, yes.
Let's talk a little bit about this guy. I saw this last night on Twitter from Heartland Signal. I want to give them a credit for putting this clip out there, although there were a lot of press. So the electors, the Electoral College met in Wisconsin this week, and Tommy George Thompson, former four-time Republican governor of Wisconsin, his first time ever being an elector. And so he voted, and of course, as should have been, Donald Trump won Wisconsin, and so he cast his vote for Trump. And afterwards, a reporter brought up these new charges brought by Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call against some of the people, the Trump supporters from 2020 that tried to subvert with fake electors and steal the election. And a reporter asked former Governor Thompson about this. Here's what he said.
Governor, I'm curious your thoughts 4 years later on these Justice Department charges, this ongoing case still targeting the 2020 meeting of the Republican electors. What are your thoughts on those charges from the Justice Department?
Isn't it about time to turn the page? I mean, we can fight over the election of 2020 for the next 4 years. What does it get us? Isn't it about time to say, we've had a lot of differences. Isn't it time to start trying to mend ways and solving America's problems, Wisconsin's problems? We got huge problems in this country. Instead of fighting again, and in the courts over something that took place 4 years ago. We've had a new election. Let's get on with it. Let's build Wisconsin. Let's build America. That's my answer.
But Governor, did Donald Trump get over it in 2020 after he lost to Joe Biden?
No.
So then why should Democrats act when Republicans did 4 years ago?
I am just saying, you asked what we should do, and I'm saying let's get over it. Let's start building instead of tearing down. I'm a builder, you know that. And let's build Wisconsin. Let's build America. We can fight over the courts for the next 10 years. What did we accomplish? Nothing.
Well, I don't know, Tommy. Really? I don't know. Really? I mean, insurrection and trying to steal the election, I'm not sure that's something we should get over. Pat Kreitel?
No, don't think so. When he says this is the time to start trying to mend ways and solving America's problems, Wisconsin's problems. You know when that time was? 4 years ago.
Yeah.
When Joe Biden was trying to solve America's problems and Wisconsin's problems and was dogged by these lies for 4 years. And not now we want to turn the page. As the electors met there in the state capitol, my question is, in what room in the capitol yesterday were the fake electors meeting in? Here's the answer. There weren't any. Because, again, one side played by the rules. Right. And just one last thing about this And again, this is nothing personal toward the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reporter that wrote the story about it. I just take issue with the wording in which she talks about the fake electors and how it, quote, set the stage for a national debate over election denialism. What?
What?
A national it set the stage for a national debate? No, it was a crime. It was a crime. And no, we should not be thinking about, oh, you know, it was a crime, but now the other side won. So now it's okay that it's not a crime and we're just going to turn the page. No. And so, yes, the State Department of Justice filed charges because they're the right thing to do, and take this thing forward, and don't let anybody who tried to steal an American election and then lie about it by accusing the other side of stealing have one peaceful night's sleep until justice is done.
I agree with everything you said. Tony, watching on YouTube, says, my answer is I would like to ignore your question. Now I'd like to give you platitudes until you go away.
Exactly. Yes. Nailed
look,
it.
I mean, as someone who grew up, I'll use the word as a kid in college, idolizing Tommy Thompson. I worked on every one of his elections. And I believe during his time as governor, he did some really remarkable things and brought in a bipartisan people. And I just wish that he would have left it at that. And I think he would have been remembered as one of the most effectual and greatest governors in Wisconsin history. And it saddens me personally to see this man who certainly was flawed, but did a lot in the twilight of his career, just, pardon the expression, piss it all away to genuflect to Donald Trump simply because he craves being relevant and trying to make a couple of bucks on K Street in Trump 2.0. I think it's sad, and I think it's just, it's unfortunate.
You know, the point is taken, though. I would note you could really trace the arc of Tommy Thompson as a three-act play. And in Act 1, prior to him being governor, because I covered him as a young reporter in the legislature, I covered his first race for governor in 1986. You know, he was known as Dr. No.
Right.
He would not get along with Democrats. He was tough as nails. He was partisan to a fault. Mm-hmm. And then he kind of matured as he got into that third and fourth term. He built things like Highway 29 across the state and had this real legacy in the making. But now in the third act, he's kind of returned to his much more partisan roots. And it's not serving him well. I don't think it will, you know, thoroughly diminish the good things about his legacy, but it doesn't help, especially in something as serious as this.
No, I just find it hard to take the guy seriously anymore. You know,
anybody who buys into the big lie or even just helps it along and does not call it out. Yeah. You've lost something in my estimation as well.
Yeah. Pat Kreitler, you can hear him every morning, 6 until 8, across Civic Media on Up North News Radio. I'm not going to see you again, so Merry Christmas, my friend. Happy holidays.
Merry Christmas to you, too. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Coming up next on the Best of the Todd Allbaugh Show, on Thursday, Sean Fedaplace of Main Street Alliance joined us to talk about Badger Care expansion, why we haven't done it yet, and why we probably should. Stay tuned.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allbaugh Show.
CBS News Brief, a winning ticket for the $1.2 billion Mega Millions jackpot has been sold in Cottonwood, California.
Those winning numbers are 55, 7, 3, 37, 49, and the Mega Ball is 6.
What would it be like if you won?
It would be like a new life. It would be being born all over again.
If the winner takes a lump sum, as almost all winners do, they'd get about $550 million before taxes. The Treasury Department is warning it will need to take extraordinary measures if Congress doesn't raise the nation's debt limit soon. CBS's Linda Kenyon.
Secretary Yellen says Congress must act to protect the full faith and credit of the United States. The federal debt presently stands at roughly $36 trillion.
Sportscaster and studio host Greg Gumbel has died. Here's CBS Sports HQ host Russ Thaler.
In 2001, he became the first African-American to do play-by-play for a major sports championship in the United States when he called Super Bowl 35 for CBS.
Gumbel had cancer. He was 78. CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Badger.
Rangers hockey in Milwaukee. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college hockey, it's the Wisconsin Badgers against Ferris State tonight at Five Serve Forum. It's part of the holiday face-off tournament going on this weekend. The Badgers hope to improve their record of 7-10-1. NFL, the Packers face the Vikings in Minnesota. 3:25 tomorrow, Vikings star wide receiver Justin Jefferson.
Just going against Green Bay, you know, everybody know we hate them and they hate us. The fans know just the whole rivalry in general is something to get juiced up about. So I definitely rank this one high.
Packers quarterback Jordan Love.
I mean, all the motivation is right there. It's division opponent. Obviously, they beat us first game. So we're going into their place. And, we want to get some of that revenge that we're looking for. So we're trying to go down there and handle business in the NFC North, which we've dropped a couple games already this year. So we need to go get a win.
That's Jordan Love with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, cloudy skies become mostly sunny skies. We'll have a high near 41 this afternoon. For tonight, some patchy fog, maybe some freezing fog with a low of 29. For Sunday, mostly cloudy with a high of 39, 37 in clouds on Monday.
It's 39 at our studios.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
UW Systems spends $51 million of our taxpayer money for consultants. Three times the budget shortfall that triggered the Oshkosh layoffs in 2023. Why is there such silence from Democrats in the state capitol on this? Ask people at Richland Center, Waukesha, Washington County, if they got their $51 million worth for the UW system.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Dom Salvia Show.
How about this one? Harvey Kay, a Delano Democrat.
The problem with that is that was his mother's family name. You might not realize that he had a father, too.
Come on, man.
Subscribe to my arguments and you can call a Dom Democrat.
All right, I'll take a Dom Democrat. But Franklin Delano Roosevelt, a big favorite here on this show.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Appleton-based comedian John Egan into the studio. Then Chicago comedians Bill Gorgo and Jim McHugh join the show to promote a New Year's Eve extravaganza in Port Washington. Let's light it up.
Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Thanks for sticking with us on the Best of the Todd Albaugh Show. Here's Todd's conversation with Sean Fetteplace of Main Street Alliance.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Albaugh Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 34 now, past the hour of 12 noon on this Thursday, December 19th, 2024. Snow continues to fall across much of Wisconsin. Taking a look at live weather radar right now. Anywhere for our listeners at GBW in Green Bay, over to XCO in Wausau, Eau Claire, WCFW there, the Tap, down to Wisconsin Rapids, WFHR RCE in Richland Center here, MDX in Madison, WAUK, Madison or Milwaukee and Waukesha, snow kind of moving in there more heavily, Oshkosh, WISS, all these places now experiencing some level of snow. Taking a look at expectations for snow totals. And again, it's a little tricky because where this storm tracks through northeastern Wisconsin is going to depend upon, northeastern Iowa will depend upon how much snow we get. Folks in the Green Bay area, kind of Green Bay over to Eau Claire-ish. I'm using Highway 29 as the through line. Could be 9 inches plus, 5 to 9 inches up there. The middle part of the state, 6 to 8. In Madison, over to Milwaukee area. Madison, maybe 3 to 6, and Milwaukee up to 4 inches. But again, that could all change. Bottom line is most of Wisconsin roadways are considered either snow-covered and slippery or ice-covered. Stay off the roads if you can. Allow extra time if you have to be out today. A guy who allowed extra time and got here right on time, Sean Fetteplace, joins us here at the desk here in Madison, our headquarters. He is the director, pardon me, the campaign's director for Main Street Alliance. Sean, thanks for braving the roads and being here.
Good to see you.
It's great to see you. Have you moved the mic just a little bit closer here so Zomers could get a good volume? There we are. Great to have you back. I know you were on Earl's show this morning. For people who haven't heard of Main Street Alliance, tell folks a little bit about your organization and what you do.
Yeah, so Main Street Alliance is a network of about 30,000 small business owners all throughout the country. We have about 2,000 members here in Wisconsin, and we really work to focus on the issues that matter to them. Can I get health care? Can we afford child care? Do we have paid leave for our business? And we really work to help to elevate the voices of small business owners with elected officials so that they actually do their job.
Yeah, I have a great admiration for your organization as a former small business owner myself. I have had a couple of coffee shops here in the Madison area. And boy, when you're, you know, maybe you're the only full-time employee and you have a handful of other part-time folks, you just don't always have time to take care of yourself because you're putting it all into the business and into your customers and whatnot. And it's great to have organizations like Main Street Alliance kind of watching out for you.
Yeah, and I was going to say, as a small child, I was actually the child labor in my family's coffee shop.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's called Mountain Mocha in Sandy, Oregon. That's where I grew up. But my whole family's from Wisconsin, but bounced around a little because my dad's shop growing up. But, you know, really saw firsthand how hard people work, and it gave them the independence where my family could spend time together, too. Mm-hmm. And so it really meant a lot. And for a lot of business owners, they have a dream, and it's our job to make sure that they can actually achieve that dream.
That's awesome. How long have you actually been with Main Street Alliance?
Almost 5 years.
That's awesome. And you've seen market growth, I think, in your membership here in Wisconsin.
Yeah, we hadn't done as much work in the past year up until right before the pandemic hit. Mm-hmm. And we've grown to about 2,000 members across the state. Here locally, Chef Dave Heidi, Chef Patrick DiPola. I mean, we have a lot of members in Madison, but we have been very deliberate not to just focus on the cities. We have a lot of folks. I know you visited with TJ at Wonder State Coffee.
Wonder State Coffee, they're wonderful people. He did a whole show from, he was so kind. We did a whole show from right there on their main cafe in Viroqua.
Yeah, and he actually just spoke with Eric Gunn of the Wisconsin Examiner to talk about the struggles in terms of being able to provide health care to his employees. And so, and I know that ties in to what we're going to talk about here today.
Yeah, absolutely. Before we get into that, though, I want to kind of suss this out because people hear this all the time. They hear Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce. They hear Wisconsin Chambers of Commerce, Main Street Alliance. To the layperson, this all sounds like, oh, what's the difference? Aren't they all the same, just taking care of big or small businesses? There is a market difference, and we don't have to go into every one of those organizations I mentioned, but what makes Main Street Alliance unique in all the other organizations out there?
So I would say that we have a huge difference of views on issues. Our membership generally is more heavily female, it's more diverse, and tend to be a lot of sole proprietors or people with less than 10 staff. That is not who WMC is looking out for. WMC is looking out for very large manufacturers. And honestly, they're a very political organization, so much so that that's their main driver. And often they don't even do what's in the best interest of their own membership. And National Federation of Independent Business, another example of that. And so I think that there's good people part of those organizations, but I think that they're misguided in terms of their views that it's very much race to the bottom. And can we slash and cut regulations so there's none? I don't want to pay any taxes. We believe in high values employers and people who want to do the right thing to help take care of their folks, to be able to grow the economy, but they just need a little bit of help to be able to achieve that.
We one of the things we've done this year, we hope to do in 2025, is we take this show on the road. We call him my broadcasting friend and from Lincoln Project, Trevi Olson. He usually goes along. We call it What Makes Wisconsin Great Tours. And we talk to small businesses all across Wisconsin, whether it's Wonder State in Viroqua. We've been to the winery down in Mount Horeb, or not Mount Horeb, but New Glarus, pardon me. We're, you know, all across the state. And what I love about it is the commonality that cuts through partisan politics. Because I think I've seen a lot of polls, and maybe not ironically, but interestingly, that when you ask the question or rank a bunch of issues, small business polls well, quote unquote, with both Republicans and Democrats. It actually brings people together, because I think most people want to see their small businesses in their community succeed, because they don't want to drive a long ways to get what they want.
That's exactly right. And we're really a small business state. Mm-hmm. I mean, you just go down here on State Street in Madison. Literally, I can look out there and see five small businesses in, just within view. And so I think it's really important to understand that, especially in those small towns, you know, all throughout the Driftless, all throughout the Northwoods, all throughout, you know, the central part of the state, it really is essential that they get what they need. But, you know, the state legislature really hasn't been representing their values over the course of the last 12 years. And thankfully, now that the gerrymander's gone, they're going to be held a lot more accountable to what's happening on those main streets. And so that's something I'm really excited personally to be able to work with our folks on.
It is 41 minutes past the hour of 12 noon. We're talking with Sean Fedaplace. He is the campaign's director for Main Street Alliance here in the state of Wisconsin. And talk a little bit now about this new legislative session coming on. We get through the holidays, and then right off in 2025 in January, the new legislative session starts, as you said, partly certainly due to the fairer maps as a result of the new state Supreme Court. Republicans don't have quite the majorities they do. They don't have the supermajority in the state Senate anymore. Things are tighter in the assembly. And I know one of the issues that you're working to help small business people with is this issue of health care. And again, I'll talk about it later as somebody went through this, but talk a little bit about why you want to expand Badger Care and what this really means for small business owners all across the state of Wisconsin.
So I would say, first off, there are a lot of reasons why it's going to help our small business owners, but I'll first talk about math. Over the last 10 years, we would have received $2.4 billion more if we had expanded Badger Care. And over the course of the next 2 years, it would save us $1.7 billion. Right now, the status quo is we're paying more money for worse coverage. And it's just really important for people to understand that this is a political decision, not a policy decision. Governor Scott Walker, what he did was he expanded Medicaid coverage for everyone, able-bodied adults, up to 100% of poverty. And then for 100 to 138% of poverty, those folks could go into the marketplace. Now, that sounds like a possible solution, right? Mm-hmm. Except for the fact that if you're 137% of poverty, can you afford a deductible? Probably not. Mm-hmm. And so there's been this very dishonest argument to say that this hybrid solution is what actually worked. And in fact, it's not working for a lot of those folks in that segment. And if we just take the money, that's all we have to do. We just have to say yes. Then those folks are going to benefit, and it's going to benefit many people who are thinking about starting businesses, staff in those businesses, and a lot of entrepreneurs who just need access to better quality healthcare.
So let's stop there, pause there for a second, and explain to folks, because you and I, you know, we follow this stuff a lot of people are like, what does this mean? Take the money. And I was in the building, as they call the state capitol, when Walker was governor. And this is a choice. Explain to people, there is a choice here to take this federal money to apply to Wisconsinites. And we're one of how many states? Not very many.
Ten
states that doesn't take this money that is available. It is a choice. And why is that?
And I would just say North Carolina just expanded Medicaid not long ago. Hundreds of thousands of people got coverage. Iowa took it, Republican state. Indiana took it, Republican state. It's basically us in the Deep South that haven't taken it. And so back after the Affordable Care Act, otherwise known as Obamacare, passed, the Supreme Court ruled that states didn't have to take the expansion. That was an optional thing. And so over time, there was, you know, it became a very partisan issue. Many Republican states didn't take it. Many Democratic states did. But over time, the math just overwhelmingly convinced many Republican-led states to take the funds. We've literally said no for 10 years. Every budget, it's come up. The governor here has proposed it in each of his budgets. They've said no. And Speaker Robin Voss has said, and I quote, it's going to pass over my own my dead body. That's the phrase he used. I probably wouldn't phrase that about people's access to healthcare personally. But, you know, there's a lot of people that, frankly, don't have the quality coverage they need because of this. And, you know, 90,000 people either would receive coverage for the first time or would have better quality coverage. 10 years of almost 100,000 people. How many of those people had cancer they didn't catch or diabetes issues or other health issues? This is a there are real consequences to not taking this money. And so if we take it from the feds, we can get it done. And hopefully we can get it done in this budget.
I think that's so important to let people know that these available dollars were passed in a bipartisan fashion at the federal government via Obamacare. The Supreme Court, as you said, said, well, actually, you don't have to take it if you don't want it. So it opened the door for hyper-partisan folks like Scott Walker, who have an old narrative that somehow assistance is a bad thing. That oh, you must be, you know, a lazy bum if you want to take Badger Care. Well, look, when I had a coffee shop, I was working 90-plus hours a week, and I was supporting six other people in part-time capacities and paying them. There were months that I never, in the 2 years I had it, never took an actual salary for myself and went 2 years without any health care.
Yeah.
And then I had the next coffee shop, and I was finally able to get on Badger Care, which, to your point, it wasn't Cadillac coverage, which is what Robin Voss and all the legislature has and their staff. But yet they want to, and they say they support small business people, but there are hundreds, about thousands of men and women across the state that say, I'd like to start a flower shop. I'd like to start a feed and seed. But I can't afford to quit my corporate or whatever job because I can't afford the health insurance. This would allow that. But Robin Voss and the Republican leadership says no. Do I have that right? Keep me honest.
You met with TJ. TJ was on Badger Care with his family when he started Wonder State Coffee because he wasn't paying himself a salary because that's what was needed. This often gets conflated as like a moral issue, ethical issue. It's a business issue. It's whether or not people can take that risk. There are so many people I met where one spouse is in a corporate or government job just to have benefits for the family. Where that person, if they were able to, both of them working in the business. You have folks that have a 9-to-5, and they also are doing the business. And it's not growing as quickly as it could because they have to keep that job for health care. It really is, you know, if we expand Badger Care, for those folks who are getting started, it can really be a leg up. And, you know, once they are earning more, then they won't be in it anymore. Mm-hmm. And so that's the thing, is that people aren't going to reduce their business activities because they want to remain eligible for Badger Care expansion. And so in the end, you know, it is really impeding that issue. And also, frankly, many small business owners can't afford to provide health insurance. Big businesses can. So when you're competing for talent and staff, that is a huge impediment. This could help deal with that.
Totally agree. Here's a little statistic for all of our listeners across Wisconsin. How much do you pay every month for your health care coverage? Your portion of it. When I was in the state legislature, I don't think it's changed dramatically last time I checked. All those legislative staffers that work in the building up the road here, they pay $78 a month is their portion with zero deductible for most things. How does that square with what you're paying out there, folks? 855-752-4842 if you want to call in. We'll come on back with Sean Fedaplace from Main Street Alliance right here on the Civic Media Ready Network. It's the Todd Allball Show for a snowy Thursday on Civic Media.
Up next, the rest of the conversation with Sean Fedaplace. Stay tuned.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Rudolph is a holiday classic, and there's a Wisconsin connection. Maury Laws composed music for the animated show in 1964. He continued arranging hundreds of songs from his Appleton home after leaving New York 20 years later. During that time, Laws created one quirky pop song. Do you know what it is? The answer coming up.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, sort of where a lot of people's core Christmas memories come from.
Emily Locke with the Oshkosh Museum on holiday traditions around Rudolph. Laws worked for the TV production company behind the show and also wrote music for Frosty the Snowman. And about the silly song he composed.
It was an itsy bitsy
teeny weeny yellow polka dot bikini. Laws died in 2019 at the age of 95, but his music lives on as a wonderful slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Thanks for sticking with us in the Best of the Todd Allball Show this weekend. Here's the rest of the conversation with Sean Fetteplace of Main Street Alliance.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 9 before the hour of 1 o'clock, top of the hour, CBS or ABC News, depending upon which station you are listening to across the Civic Media Radio Network. An update with Brittany Merlot and our outstanding weather team on the weather watches and warnings across Wisconsin, anywhere from 9-plus inches down to 3 or 4 inches of snow, total accumulation by tomorrow morning, depending upon where you are at in the state. She'll update us on that. Mike Clemens, our great sports reporter, and then we'll come on back with our number two. Don't forget, grown-up gift list text to win contest. That is what we're playing in our number two. We'll give you the magic word to text in, so download the Civic Media app right now. You'll be all set. It is Thursday. That means up for grabs next hour. An overnight getaway to Chula Vista Resort in Wisconsin Dells. Sean Fetteplace, the campaign director for Main Street Alliance, is here in the studio with us. Ever been to Chula Vista, Sean?
No, but I want to go. Maybe I'll enter.
You're eligible. You're not an employee. So text in next hour. We'll tell you. Sean, so great to have you here talking a little bit about Main Street Alliance, supporting small businesses across the state, and really access to more affordable and good health care via Badger Care for our small business owners. Listening up in beautiful Spooner, Wisconsin, Paul on WBZH, Buzz of the North in Hayward. I bet you the Hayward people are loving this because it was touch and go when we were up there last year for the Birkenbeiner. They need snow for the Berkey. So this starts it out. It's a beautiful place. Anyway, Paul in Spooner says, not accepting the expansion money from the federal government, the people pay more, leaving less to spend on Main Street.
I think that's a really good point. I mean, if folks are paying less in premiums and out-of-pocket costs, then they're going to have more money to spend in their local community.
Yeah, absolutely. So again, just to set the stage again, this was a decision first by Scott Walker and now by the Republicans in the legislature to refuse, to turn down. You said one of 10 states in America who's not taking this available money from the feds via Obamacare, which means there's less money available for Wisconsin, which means less Badger Care out there. Explain in really 30,000-foot levels what Badger Care is to folks.
Badger Care is Medicaid. It's what we call Medicaid. Governor Tommy Thompson, to his credit, when he was governor, helped to expand the program, helped to make sure more people were eligible, that it was better quality coverage. And in fact, that helped to inform some of what happened during the Affordable Care Act debate when Obamacare was passed. And so people who are up to 100% of poverty, which is not very high, it's about $12,000 for an individual, gets into the 20s for a family. It's still very low. Folks are able to get coverage through that. And then if people are above 100% of poverty, they can go into the Affordable Care Act marketplace where they pay premiums for a plan and they get subsidies that are in the form of tax credits. So that helps to make it lower cost. Some folks have very low premiums, but they still have high out-of-pocket costs. And so it's important to know that with that segment, that 100 to 138% of poverty, it's about getting them better options, which is Badger Care expansion.
Yeah, I think I was on Badger Care for like a little over a year and a half while I had the small business. I think, don't quote me on this, I think my premium was like $160 a month. And yeah, it wasn't Cadillac coverage, but if I fell down, broke a leg, or God forbid had a heart attack, it would have covered all those. I wouldn't have had to declare bankruptcy, as many people do, if I would have had a major healthcare event, and it covered basic prescriptions as well. And so it gave me some peace of mind that I wasn't going to lose my business if I had a healthcare issue. Talk, Sean, about the 4 minutes we have left here. What you're doing here in the new legislative session to get this Badger Care expanded, and maybe as or more importantly, what can our listeners do to help you guys get this done?
So I would say, first off, if you're a small business owner or supporter, go to MainStreetAlliance.org and sign up, and you'll get updates on ways you can take action. We are going to have a lobby day in March. We're relentlessly contacting lawmakers. We've been having meetings already on this. 14 seats in the state legislature flipped. It is still a majority controlled by Speaker Voss and Lemieux in the Senate. However, there are many Republican lawmakers who did not win by a whole lot. And so they are more susceptible to public pressure than they have been in years. Mm-hmm. So that is why it's so important. You know, if you just Google Wisconsin State Legislature, look up your legislator, give them a call. Give them a text, email them.
I wonder if what you just said is so important. Call or text your legislator.
Yes.
Because as a former legislative staffer, when somebody is calling in from another district, honestly, it doesn't make a lot of difference. But when it's your boss's constituent, that makes a world of difference.
Exactly. And as a former staffer myself for Congressman Ron Kind and other people, I can tell you it doesn't take a lot. If you hear an office hears 10 people from 10 people, 20 people about a topic, that's going to get your boss's attention. And so ultimately, politics is about a game of attention and change. And so by contacting your lawmaker, you know, just say, you know, happy holidays. By the way, when you get back, do your job. Please pass Medicaid expansion and tell them your personal story.
Yes, good.
Yeah. So again, go to MainStreetAlliance.org and sign up there and you'll get contacted about ways that you can contact your lawmakers, our lobby day, and just like really make sure that our voice is heard loud and clear here in Madison.
1 minute left, Sean Fetteplace. Is there anything I have not asked you? I want to make sure our listeners know about this.
I would say that things are starting to change in the legislature, and I think there's a lot of good people who just got elected. There are a lot of new Republicans who got elected in their seats, and then amongst the Democratic folks in the Assembly, 23 are new. 22 are coming back. A majority are new folks. And there's a lot of good energy, a lot of good organizers in that area. And that gives an opportunity to be able to see some change on this issue because you have a lot of folks who are new to the process, but it's up to us to educate them on this issue and to really make sure that they are advocating for it in the halls of the Capitol.
Sean Fetteplace, campaigns director for Main Street Alliance. Thanks so much for braving the snow, being here. Thanks for all the work that your organization does.
Thank you, Todd.
Thanks once again for listening to the best of the Todd Allbaugh Show this week. As always, you can head on over to civicmedia.us/shows or anywhere else you get podcasts to listen to the rest of the show from this week. As Todd always says, whatever you do, whatever you're fighting for, do not give up. Keep banging your drum. We'll see you next week.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap. Dom Selvia.
Next time, what does former FBI and CIA Director William Webster have to say about Cash Patel and Tulsi Gabbard? Also, our favorite Delano Democrat, Harvey Kay, on the rise of homelessness and political exhaustion. Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Finding the special healthcare resources families need just got easier. Wisconsin Wayfinder, Children's Resource Network, helps kids with delays, disabilities, special health care needs, and mental health conditions. Call toll-free 877-947-2929. Ask questions. Get answers. Connect today toll-free 877-947-2929. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Christopher Cruz. Many Americans are heading home this weekend after Christmas, and some of them are heading into rough weather.
An incredibly active period across the country.
CBS News New York meteorologist Vanessa Murdoch says tornadoes could touch down in the Gulf Coast states.
The risk of tornadic activity is pretty significant. Damaging wind, hail as well. Out west, another atmospheric river for the Pacific Northwest. Looking at flood watches for Oregon, Northern California. High wind warnings, snow 1 to 2 feet possible in places like the Cascades and the Rockies.
It's raining today in the Northeast and will for the next few days. Someone bought the winning ticket for the $1.2 billion Mega Millions jackpot in Cottonwood, California.
Our first number tonight is 55. Up next you have 7. That's followed by 3. Then we have 37, and finally, 49. Now for your Mega Ball number is 6.
The odds of winning are 1 in about 303 million, so why play?
I'm always hopeful that one day I'll win.
President-elect Donald Trump is asking the Supreme Court to pause a ban on TikTok.
Oral arguments are scheduled for January 10th to determine whether to ban the social media platform in the U.S., unless TikTok agrees to divest from its China-based parent company. In a friend of the court brief, a Trump attorney urged justices to pause the ban from going into effect until the new administration can pursue what he called a political resolution to the issue. TikTok and the Biden administration also filed briefs, with the administration saying TikTok poses a national security risk. Linda Kenyon, CBS News, Washington.
U.S. Capitol Police say members of Congress are increasingly being threatened with violence. CBS's Scott McFarlane has spoken with some of them.
Several U.S. House members told CBS News they've been menaced in recent weeks.
I'm being unfairly targeted right now. I'm receiving death threats.
I'm fine, but I got a family at home that has to deal with all this.
Including North Carolina Democrat Wiley Nickel, who told us his recent editorial recommending strategies to push back on President-elect Trump's agenda triggered a wave of death threats.
We've had threats on my life, my family, my staff. It's been, you know, very ugly.
To counter the harassment, Capitol Police are deploying more officers into elected officials' home communities and airports during travel.
She was the beautiful young star of the 1968 film Romeo and Juliet.
I gave thee mine before thou didst request it, and yet I would it were to give again.
The actress Olivia Hussey has died. She had cancer. She was 73 years old. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots.
Woot, woot!